Welcome to the Upward Running Podcast, where faith fuels your fitness journey.
Welcome back to the Upward Running Podcast. This is your one stop each week to be motivated and inspired to get off the couch and onto the running trail, where you can in turn inspire others to do the same. Let's learn, laugh, and leap into running together, giving God the glory for what we are able to do in His name. Amen. Well, I am your running host, Dean Thompson, coming to you once again from the Upward Sports Studio. What happens once you're done with a project? Well, you reflect on it, and then you plan how to move forward from there, right? Well, we're going to discuss a story about that today. And then I'm going to share my thoughts on how we can go from, I don't think I can do that, to, I just did that. And joining me again for that and much more is Upward Running Director Mitchell Hollis.
Thanks for having me, Dean. How's your week been?
It's not bad, but not great.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble with a little minor injury. I hope it's a minor injury.
Yeah.
So I'm just having a baby a little bit. So we'll see.
Feel like somebody kicked you in the shin.
That's what it feels like. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, hey, we're about to start off this Couch to Marathon group.
That's right.
We're about to kick off a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, we've kicked off the new app. We've got the resurgence of the church groups. We've got 5K challenges starting in churches everywhere right now. But yes, the famous Couch to Marathon is starting on February the 24th. So I wanted to, because we got a lot of new listeners coming in with the new app. You know, we're marketing to a whole different group of people now. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the history of
Couch to Marathon.
The Couch to Marathon.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people don't know is it almost started as not a dare, but just kind of a...
Let's see how this goes.
Yeah, because I think how it started was I was planning to run another marathon, and because I hadn't ran one in several years at the time. And I think maybe we were in a meeting, and you were like, well, I'll do it. And then we talked about Gay, you know, could Gay do it? And so we kind of come up with this idea of the Couch to Marathon. And we were just, you know... We have four training programs. We have the 5K, the 10K, the half, and the full. And we thought, what does it look like if we put them all together? Because honestly, I have never seen that phrase before. Have you seen the phrase couch to marathon?
Not before we did it.
I've never seen it. I've seen couch to 5K. That's mm-hmm. pretty common. But couch to marathon. So we thought, well, let's just put it out there. You know, if we get 20 people to join us, this was right smack dab in the middle of COVID. And so we thought, we'll put it out there and see if anybody wants to join us. With 1,200 people signed up to do a couch to marathon. And it was wildly successful. We had that first graduating race at Disney World.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what year that was. Was that 22?
Yeah. Well, I can't remember now. I'm trying to picture with my T-shirt.
Yeah. Anyway, it was wildly successful. So we've done it every year since. And so we're starting it again this February. And then in 2025, we will be going back to Big Beach Marathon for our graduating race.
Which was our second one.
And it was probably the best venue.
Yeah.
Because number one, the race directors are incredible. Mike mm-hmm. and Nikki. Nikki's just a ball of energy.
Yes, she is.
And the race directors are great. It's a beautiful, I mean, you're literally finishing right on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just incredible. So we're going back there. So how do you join us? Maybe there's people out there and they're saying, well, I can't do a marathon. What would you say to them, Dean?
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Yes.
You know, the people who did it that first year, they couldn't run a marathon either.
Yep.
But a year later, they could. And now, is it going to be easy? No. But nothing in life worth doing is easy. So how do you join us? Or how do you find out more information? Go to upwardrunning.com. Select the button that says start today. Get signed up. Download the app and buckle up. Because we're starting February the 24th on the Couch to Marathon. Now, we've got a lot of other things in the app that you can do. There's lots of other challenges. We're going to be adding new challenges as the year goes on. We're going to be adding many more features to the app as the year goes on. But if you've ever considered, thought about running a marathon, maybe you haven't ran one in years, and you want to get back in and do another one, this is the best route to do that.
Amen.
You can download training plans all over the internet, but what you don't get is the accountability, the motivation, the community, which we've talked about so many times, is so important to have that community around you. Those people who you've never met, but they feel like your best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the common tie is the sport of running. That is priceless.
Amen.
So join us this February 24th for the Couch to Marathon.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Our post of the week this week comes from Michelle Palma Stover. We've had a few posts from her. She just does a good job with them. And she says, good morning. I got my race result. It isn't so much what I've accomplished as much as it is who I've accomplished it with. Having my students do this with me in spite of their fears that I can't do that is priceless. Seeing them struggle but enjoy and take pride in their hard work is another bonus. They want to do it again and again soon. We want to do the Big Bear. Wow, that's a lot of hills. I still can't do monkey bars and pull-ups on the rope. I need to get my upper body stronger, so I did the penalty, which were mostly burpees. Not easy. I got to do more than the first time I raced. I know I'll get better. Easy has never been in my vocabulary. When people tell me that's hard, my head just goes, what is not? I'm still sore all over. My left pinky and ring fingers are bruised, but the swelling has gone down. I tripped on a gopher hole, sprained my right foot, landed on my face and left hand. My adrenaline kept me going and God's reinforcements. I did it again. I'm a Spartan for God.
I love the phrase, easy has never been in my vocabulary.
Yes.
That, I think that's me and you. It's, you know, that's hard. We say, well, why not? I can do that. If you can do it, I can do it.
Yep.
No matter how ill-equipped I am, I'll try it.
That's always been my look. The way I look at things is, well, somebody else did it. So if somebody else did it, then I should be able to do it too.
Sure.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way to look at things,
yeah,
right?
That's right. That's right. And I like the way she has her students with her doing this thing.
So I'm assuming she's a school teacher? Is that what I'm picking up?
I think that's right. And it was cool. Have you ever done a Spartan race?
I haven't.
I haven't either. I went and watched my son do one years ago, but I've never done one myself. Actually, it wasn't a Spartan race. It was the Tough Mudder or something else,
yeah,
I think.
There's several of them out there.
But it was fun to watch. And I'd like to do one day. I don't know where they are. I've never really looked at it. I don't know.
Now, we've put on a pretty well-designed mud run.
Yes, we
used to do it for the track kids.
Right.
And it was... Probably wouldn't meet up to OSHA standards.
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure. Yeah, the crawling under bridges that may have snakes under them probably is not a...
Well, it was winter time, so the snakes were gone.
Yeah, surely. Yeah.
Nobody got bit.
Well, you know, I've always liked the American Ninja Warrior stuff. Although my upper body is so much weaker than it used to be. It used to be that I could probably do fairly well at that. I don't know that I could do well at it unless I worked on my upper body, but maybe that's a good excuse to work on my upper body to do some of this stuff. It would be fun.
You know, I made a note in here because you mentioned American Ninja Warrior. I remember when I was a member of a rock climbing gym at one time. I don't know why I thought I was going to get into that, because that is way harder than you think it is. But the gym I was going to up in Chattanooga, Alex Calderon, who won American Ninja Warrior, he was the first one to win $1 million. And Lisa Rand were two professional rock climbers. Both lived in Chattanooga for a while.
Yeah.
And they were members of that gym. And I remember I would go, and this shows you how actively involved in the gym I was. I would go and sit and just watch them.
Yeah.
Because it was like to see, and if you're listening to this, you probably can't visualize it, but to see them grab a tiny handhold. I mean, something that... It's almost like you're trying to hold on to something tiny, or pebble.
Yeah.
To see them grab a hold of that and hold their whole body weight.
Yeah.
They're holding this above, so their whole body weight is hanging down. And then to see them take their foot and reach up and grab a hold 5 feet away that's even higher than what they're holding, it was art. I mean, it was truly art, and you realize how much time they spent on their craft through the years. I mean, it was really just amazing to watch.
It is. It's really cool. So if you struggle with doing really hard things, try to find something fun to do that's hard. Because once you get through that thing that's fun, that's hard, it bleeds over into the things maybe that aren't quite as fun, but you can conquer. So our run of the week comes from Richard Ball. He said, hard run today. Had a wind gust in my face for a part, but it was beautiful day to run, and the weather was cool but not cold. Ran 12 miles. Crazy. So grateful for this journey. Grateful to run and push myself. As hard as what it was today, and it was hard, I am grateful to run. Towards the end of the run, I felt my legs turn to heavy jello, a feeling of wobbly and heavy. However, this didn't happen until about the 11th mile mark. Last week, it was around the 10-mile mark, so improvement there. Hard to believe that this training is coming to an end in 2 weeks. I have been so blessed by this training. Worth it. Hmm. It's a great example of how you get somebody that progresses from, I can't run 20 minutes in a row, to this guy now is running for almost 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And I remember when he first started, he's kind of one of those guys. He posts a lot and he's vocal about things. And, he struggled at the beginning, but he was positive about in his struggle.
Right.
And look where he is now.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see. And I'm sure he's been an inspiration to many people who have kind of watched him along the way. But he has done it. You know, last week, Mike Cosentino was on the podcast.
And right.
We talked about how much fun it is to watch other people do and conquer hard things. And I think that's just as much fun as doing it yourself.
Well, and that's what we've said so many times to people who are considering teaching a 5K challenge in their community. You know, we talk to a lot of runners who are like, you know, I'm thinking about teaching this. You experienced this. I experienced this. Everybody that teaches experiences that the perception of the sport changes after you teach and you see people go through this struggle that you may have never gone through or it's been years and years. You know, I'm convinced I don't think you ever went through struggles like this. You know, you're a natural born runner. I did. But it was years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
And so to watch people walk through this and they take the I can'ts and they turn them into I just did. Yeah, it changes your perspective and gives you a whole different level of respect for those people in the back. You talk about how your perception of the back of the pack changed after you taught one of these classes. And it's not that you ever thought bad or negative. You just didn't think about them.
That's right.
You were in your car headed home with your award while a lot of those people were still finishing. And that's not bad. It's just the way it was. But once you start, it's why our finish lines always were the loudest for the last person finishing, because that's the hardest worker on the course. It's not the fastest, but they're out there the longest. And you know well over the past few weeks that it's not always being the fastest that's the hardest. It's being out there for a long time.
That's right.
And for the 100-miler you just did, that person that's finishing their first half marathon feels every bit what you failed after 100 miles.
That is true. That's true. Yeah, and what I think is cool about it is it brings those two people together.
Yeah.
It brings that back of the packer and that front of the packer together in this common bond that I have a whole different respect for those people than I ever had before. And I think they have a deeper respect for me because it's not just about, they realize that you're human. It's not just this crazy person who has this crazy talent, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's a really neat thing. Our trivia question from last week. What does the term running economy mean? Let me start by saying this. There's two different terms that some people kind of put together. They're not the same, but we talk about them like they are sometimes. Running economy and running efficiency are not the same. Running efficiency is kind of like horsepower in a car. It's how much force can your body apply based on all the characteristics of your body. Mm-hmm. Running economy takes that one step further. So let me give an analogy here. You take a Corvette and a F-350, mm-hmm. and they may have the same horsepower, mm-hmm. but which one's faster?
Sure.
There's no question which one's faster, because that car has the characteristics, the gear ratios, it's lighter, and all these characteristics that make it be able to use that horsepower to make it faster. That's kind of how running economy is. Mm-hmm. It's how do I take the ability that I have and apply it to being able to run? Mm-hmm. And so that's the difference between running efficiency and running economy. So things like better form mm-hmm. will make you more economical when you run. Being a little bit lighter, you lose 10 pounds. That'll make your body a little more economical when mm-hmm. you run. So that's why we see people, we may have two people who have the same VO2 max.
Sure.
And one can run a 10K a minute faster than the other one.
Yeah, I think the place you see this the most, you know, I've coached a lot of swimmers in my day, and you see this in the water a lot. You know, you see,
yeah.
we would have all the kids, you know, sharing two lanes in the water, and, you know, they're a 150 max on weight, and they're swimming, and they've got really good form. And then you see a guy walk in that's 230, and he just got done benching 350 pounds upstairs, but he gets in and he looks like a barge.
Yeah.
Going through the water, and he stands up and he's like, how are these kids swimming this fast? And it's swimming economy.
Yeah.
You know, he is way stronger, probably has a higher VO2 max than some of these kids.
Yep.
But it's adding all those things together.
That's right.
We always say, like in running, don't cross the center line. You know, arms, whatever you're doing, don't cross the center line, and that gives you better running economy.
And that talk about that brings up, you know how you see these commercials? Here's one simple hack that you can use. Well, let me give you one of those from a running perspective that I think is really, really critical and makes a big difference. And people, it's so simple, and people go, duh.
Yeah.
But people don't do
no.
it. And that is, when you are moving forward, when you are running, focus on moving forward.
Sure.
Focus on your arms helping you drive forward. Focus on pushing off behind you and moving forward. So many people spend most of their energy just staying upright.
Yeah.
And there's more than that to running. And if you'll focus, there's a lot of times where I'll be, especially like on long runs, I'll look down and my watch will say, you know, I just ran that last mile 15 or 20 seconds slower than the one before it. And I realize what I've done is I've kind of relaxed myself back on my heels. I get back on the balls of my feet and be more purposeful about moving forward. And I go right back to that mm-hmm. same pace I was running before. It can make that big of a difference.
Yeah.
So if you wonder, how can you be a little faster? That mindset, it's not just a mindset. Obviously, it's how you apply it. But you can be better.
You can do things like, you know, if we're talking about that specific thing, because people don't realize how much lateral movement they have when they run.
Yeah.
And you can video yourself. And like I said, it's the same thing for swimming. Imagine drawing a perpendicular line through your body. And if anything is crossing that center line, then that's lateral movement. Another way to do it is running uphill. You know, it's hard. If you cross the center line running a steep hill, you'll almost trip, especially if you're bad.
That's true.
If you're really exaggerated, which a lot of people are. A lot mm-hmm. of people don't realize how much. It's almost like they're doing twists
yeah.
when they run. Well, if you do that running up a steep hill, you're going to wind up on the ground because you're getting your whole center of gravity off at that point. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, it sounds so simple. Just make everything go forward.
Yep.
And you'll run better.
That simple.
Upward Sports equips churches to run self-sustaining sports ministries in their communities. Whether you're a sports fanatic or on staff at a church, Upward Sports will give you all the tools you need to run a first-class sports ministry that allows you to reach families in your community. Upward Sports offers basketball, soccer, flag football, cheerleading, volleyball, baseball, and softball through league and camp offerings. At Upward Sports, we want to help your church make a difference and give you increased opportunities to share the gospel. Learn more today at upward.org. That's upward.org.
All right, we're back, and I've got this story here, and I'll put some pictures on the screen as we talk about this story. It says, woman who runs marathons dressed as a polar bear raises more than 1 million pounds for charity. A UK school teacher has raised more than 1 million pounds for a cancer charity spurred on by the tragic loss of her father. Now, it says more than 1 million, but she's almost at 2 million. And she's broken a couple of records along the way, all while dressed as a polar bear.
Hmm.
Gill, her name is, from Essex, claimed her latest record earlier this month when she took on the Polar Night Marathon in Tromsø, Norway. In an impressive 4 hours, 59 minutes, and 29 seconds, she claimed the record for fastest ice marathon dressed as a mammal. That's interesting. At one time, she achieved the fastest marathon in a full-body animal costume for a female, in 4 hours and 21 minutes and 8 seconds. Her record was later broken by other runners. Explaining how this all began, Gill, 54, said, I lost my father at a young age to cancer of the bile duct, and this awful event began my fundraising adventures for Cancer Research UK. There is probably not a family in the UK or the entire world that has not been affected by this dreadful disease, so I will continue doing all I can to support CRUK in their vital work. As difficult as it was, Gill was beaming by the end because the £21,000 or $25,628 she raised for cancer research took her total fundraising to £1.96 million, which is $2.39 million, all in the memory of her dad, Mike, who died in 1999 at the age of 56.
Wow. That lady's a great fundraiser.
Isn't she?
Yeah.
Which
is a cool story. I mean, I just love it when people do things like that, that just kind of set themselves apart in the crowd. You know, I was just watching a documentary on Tiger Woods the other day.
Huh.
And there was a guy that every time he didn't go to a ton of tournaments, but he was just a fan, but he always wore a Tony the Tiger costume. Now, you can imagine at a golf tournament how much this guy stands out.
Yeah.
But that was his thing, just like the polar bears her thing. So it's cool to see people do things like that. You know, I always said I wanted to have Sticky. I wanted to send somebody with a Sticky costume to the Tour de France.
Yeah.
Because you know how they always have these weird things running up the roads beside of one of the mountains? Have Sticky out there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we need to make that happen.
We need to send you to France.
Yeah.
With
a
Sticky costume.
Sounds like fun, yeah. Running up the one of the mountain phases right next to the bike.
Yeah, because I mean, they're all over. I remember a few years ago, it was a particular brand of water bottle. And so it was a water bottle running. Every scene you saw them on the mountains, there's this water bottle running beside them. Great marketing.
Well, I'd love to go watch the Tour de France. I'm up for it.
Yeah.
Well, I've never run in a costume, but it sure seems like it would be fun, doesn't it? But to do it nearly every race, which it sounds like is what she does, man. That seems like that would get tough after a while.
Yeah, because if you look at the pictures of that costume, that's not a lightweight costume. And I guess she's got to run like in Norway or else she'll burn up.
Well, it talks about where she's run in Athens and other places where it's much, much warmer. So that's got to be really tough on those warm places.
Yeah.
But I guess when you're doing it for a good cause like this, what a great way to honor her father. Then I guess it's not quite as bad.
Right.
So, cool story. Well, this week's story is right up your alley.
Mm-hmm.
Rhonda Williams is talking about planning. And I know how excited that word, planning, makes you.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's talk about this one. It's called Time to Rest, Reflect, and Plan. I wiped the sweat from my brow and finished off my water bottle as I walked to the car. I took in a deep breath. And as I slowly released the air, I thought, it's time to taper. I felt my whole body relax. I followed my 3-month training plan diligently, and I can feel it in my sore muscles. The hill work, long runs, and miles of slow, easy runs are complete. The hard work is over, the hay is in the barn, and now it's time to rest, heal, and get ready for the half marathon. It's important to give my muscles a chance to recover and rebuild before the race if I'm going to accomplish my goal. I will spend the next 2 weeks running short, easy runs with plenty of resting and foam rolling. This is also a good time to reflect on the training that has been done and plan a strategy for the race. I should be ready for race day if I take the taper as seriously as the hard training, and all the hard work will be worth it. I have worked hard this last year with my running and training, but I've worked hard in other ways too. And just like with running, there have been setbacks, obstacles, and a few less than stellar performances. There have also been a few accomplishments, and those achievements provide fuel to keep going. Just as I taper before a race, I plan to taper before beginning a new year. My favorite week of the year is from December 25th to January 1st. The chaos of the holidays is over, and I can bask in the warmth of the fireplace while sipping peppermint hot chocolate and enjoying the beautiful decorations. I think I'll put on some Crosby or Sinatra too. There are lots of wonderful Christmas songs, but no one does it better than the Rat Pack. I will take time to reflect on the past year and use what I learned to plan for next year. Like most athletes, I always analyze my performance and my plan after a race. Did the plan work well, or does it need tweaking before the next race? Is a different plan needed altogether? Was the goal appropriate for my level of ability? I will ask those same questions when I create a plan for achieving non-running goals in 2025. It's essential to take time to evaluate past goals and plans before creating new ones. The previous year has lessons to teach, but we will only benefit from them if we take time to reflect and learn. One of the most important lessons is to go to God in prayer first and not set out on our own waiting until the plan becomes difficult before consulting Him. It's also important to seek His will and not just follow our own desires. So let's pray, Your will be done, not mine. Please reveal Your plan to me, Father, and give me wisdom to follow it. God is a great planner. The word plan is used in the Bible 205 times. I want to build a house, but don't know how. Consult an architect. Need training plan for the PR in the next race? Confer with an experienced coach. A wise person will let God be the architect of their life and will seek His coaching every day. Before hitting the ground in 2025, I mean that literally, as I always run on January 1st, let's take time to be still and know, Psalm 46:10, let us bask in the warmth of His love and rest so that we can run and not grow weary, Isaiah 40:31. We should seek His guidance in planning this next year so that our plans will be achieved, Proverbs 16:3. Then we will be ready.
Man, I knew Rhonda and I were kindred spirits.
Yeah.
You know, I texted her after I went over this morning, and I said, this is probably one of my favorite stories we've ever done. Number one, because I did not know that the word plan is used 205 times in the Bible. I will be using that.
That'll be fuel.
That'll be right up at the top of my quotes going forward. Is, you know, the Bible says you need to be planning, you know, like talking to my kids. But I love this story because I've always said something back in my business days that you have to work on your business as much as you work in your business.
Yeah.
You know, like for a person who owns a restaurant, you can't just be a good cook. That's only half the picture. You've got to work on planning and running your business. You can't just work on your training. I mean, you can't just work in your training. You can't just have a big engine.
Right.
You know, it goes back to that whole running economy analogy. You have to work on the other things. You have to plan. You have to work on your form and all the little things that really have nothing to do with the fitness part of it. You have to work on your marriage, not just in your marriage. You can be good at chores, but if you never plan a date night, your marriage is going to suffer. And you've got to work on your finances, not just in your finances. You can make great money, but if you never invest, you know, I think you see what I'm saying. Working in just requires action and working on requires planning.
Yeah,
and I don't know why that just kind of came to my head when I read this story, because so many times we get caught up in the thing and not working on the thing, which is the whole planning part that Rhonda talks about here.
And you have to be purposeful about it. I remember when I was coaching at the college, at the end of every season, I would meet with each of my athletes individually. And we would, I kind of had a guideline that I used to say, okay, what did you like? What did you not like? What went well? What didn't go well? And let's talk about that so we can figure out how do we attack next year?
Sure.
And that's, but I had to do it purposefully. I couldn't, I mean, I could pick up on a lot of this stuff in conversations here and there, but to do it in a structured way made that planning so much better for me.
Yeah, I mean, bad races, bad days, bad experiences at work, those are all a gift if we learn from them and we plan accordingly next time. That's why it's so important that you have those meetings with your athletes to say, okay, you had this crummy race back on this date. What did you learn from it? And you've always made the comments, if you never have bad days, you have nothing to compare the good ones to. Problem is, so many times we don't ever do that analysis.
That's right.
We just keep going and keep going. We push. We're hard workers. But sometimes you got to back up and do the planning part, the working on, not just in.
Definitely important. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty.
I love your saying right here.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but hasty is my middle name. I mean, it's sometimes I'm just, you know, that's just how I am. I'm off the cuff. It's how I do things. And I've gotten better at it. And I'm better at it in some areas of my life than others. But in a lot of ways, you know, it's by the seat of your pants.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I'm that way, but I just am.
So I saw a sign one time, and I keep saying I'm going to make this sign and put it behind my desk somewhere. But it was a guy that he had a sign hanging up behind him. Like if you're sitting at his desk, you're looking at him and you see a sign up behind him, and it said, your lack of planning will not become my emergency.
Yeah.
And I love that, because that's the heart of this verse.
That's right.
And you won't have... You'll still have emergencies, but you won't have as many. And you'll know how to handle them when they do come.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I've created a few emergencies for you. But I appreciate the patience, though, which is an important thing, right? We have to understand, too, that, yeah, we should plan and we should definitely follow through on those plans and do those things. But we also have to have some grace, too,
sure,
with a lot of that stuff. So. I was just telling Debbie, this is one of those things where I hate to book hotels, because
I'm right there with you.
How many times do you book a hotel and then you get there and it's not what you thought it was? Mm-hmm. And I just get so frustrated with that it makes me frozen when I go to try to book a hotel.
Mm-hmm. And you'll spend hours.
Yes.
Sitting there looking at the computer.
And it drives me mad. So I guess what I'm saying, the reason I bring that up is because we can spend too much time planning too. At some point in time, you just got to go, all right, whatever. Looking at this more is not going to help me at all. I need to make a choice and move on to the next thing. And that's another thing. So if you're one of those who you don't have a problem planning, mm-hmm, maybe that's your strong suit. Realize there is the other side of that too.
Paralysis of analysis.
That's right.
Yeah. That's my oldest son.
Yeah. Yes.
He will paralyze himself just thinking about the what ifs. What if this happens? What if I choose this wrong? I heard Dave Ramsey talk about it one time. It was in an entree leadership course that he did, and he called it the, we've got to have the Amazon mentality sometimes. Mm. Said that a lot of technology companies have went under through the years, not because they didn't have great ideas, but because they were trying to get everything perfect before they launched it or shipped whatever that is. And he said, sometimes we got to have the ship it mentality, SHIP, like get it in the mail. It's mm-hmm. not going to be perfect, but you got to keep moving forward. But so many times we're working on this widget and we think it's got to be perfect. And before we get it out the door, it's obsolete.
Yep.
And so that, to that point, there's a balance there. Yep. There's definitely a balance.
Absolutely. Isaiah 28, 29. This also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. She writes a note. We were not created on some heavenly assembly line with the same strengths, weaknesses, and the same plan for life. God took great care in making each of us uniquely in His image and created a personalized plan for each of us. He does not ask us to do what He has not equipped us for, so seek His guidance every day.
You know, Rhonda makes such a good point here, and it took me back to a conversation that I had with Mark Yoho, kind of a friend of our ministry, who's helped us through the years. And Mark and I were having lunch one day, and it was right in the middle of some social hot button topic. I don't even remember what it was, honestly, but it was one of those big social hot button topics. And I said, Mark, what? I've never even heard you talk about these things, much less preach about these things. Things that, you know, I feel we need to be preaching on some of these things nowadays. And I'll never forget what Mark said, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. He said, God has never directed me to preach about those things. God is always direct. If you ever hear Mark preach, it's on the cross.
That's right.
He said, God has told me to preach on the cross. It's not saying I don't have opinions or convictions about those things, but God has never directed me to preach there. So therefore, I continue preaching the cross because that's the last thing I heard from Him. And man, that is, there's so much wisdom in that because I know how I am.
Yep.
When I have an opinion about something, I want to get it out there. And I've learned to be more wise nowadays. You may say differ later in this podcast, but there's so much wisdom in that statement that, and people will get mad at you for not saying stuff about things. It's like, I was questioning Mark. I wasn't mad, but I was like, why, you know, why don't you, God hasn't told me to. Wow, mic drop moment right there.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's like, okay, how do you argue with that?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. This is one of those things that's important too. From a, we all get frustrated at the things that we can't do well. I've had people come up to me and they're frustrated. Mm-hmm. They can't run as fast as I can run. And you can tell it really bugs them. Mm-hmm. We got to be satisfied with the plan God has for us.
Sure.
Now, that same person who wishes they could run as fast as me, I wish I could remember somebody's name as well as they can, but I can't.
Right.
And so we all, you need to understand that when we look at somebody else and we think, I want to be like that person or I want to be able to do what that person does, we need to realize that God gave us other things. We have our plan involves other things. It doesn't involve what that person's doing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it does, but often we get so hung up on worrying about things that God doesn't direct us to do. And we just get stuck there. And we can't do that. Proverbs 24:27 says, prepare your work outside. Get everything ready for yourself in the field. And after that, build your house. That one's right up your alley.
Mm-hmm.
She has a note. This verse tells us it's important to do things in the right way and the right order. Otherwise, you may waste time and not accomplish the goal. This requires patience. Take the time to pray and plan first rather than rushing into action.
I love this verse because it shows that we serve an efficient God.
Mm.
You know, because, I mean, some people would read that and say, well, what does that mean? Why prepare your field and then build your house? Well, it's because the field's going to take time to grow, and it can be growing while you're building your house. But if you do it the opposite, then you're going to die of starvation. Yeah, it's a great proverb. That's why I love Proverbs.
I saw this quote kind of like that. It says, if you seek no advice but your own, the results will be as limited as the input.
Very well put.
Isn't that a good quote? I mean, if we're trying to do everything on our own ideas, when we've got God right there, it's like trying to do something, having a professional there. You're trying to cook a meal. And you're gonna do what you're gonna do, and Emeril is standing right next to you, and he's trying to say, you need to do a couple of these things differently. And you're like, oh, I got it. I know what I'm doing. That's what we do with God, is we just kind of, we go on and keep cooking, even though he's standing right there going, I can help you with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's why I love Proverbs. I mentioned I texted Rhonda earlier. You know, so many areas of the Bible tell us what to do, but I'm convinced that Proverbs and James are there to tell us how to do it.
Mm.
You know, I've always called James the instruction manual of life, and Proverbs is just going to keep you out of trouble. Many areas are working in our faith. Proverbs and James are working on our faith. Going back to that analogy.
Yeah.
But I think about David Hendricks. David Hendricks is another name from our past that he worked with us at Run for God. Was an incredible man. He's going on to be with the Lord now. But I always say that David worked on the efficiency of the Run for God trailer, and quite literally not in it. And let me explain. So David, he was in charge of, when we did a lot of races, we had a trailer that had all of the equipment in it. So I had the finish line rugs, the finish line arch, all the gates, all the water coolers, everything to do a race was in this one trailer. And we would always have volunteers after the race load everything in the trailer. Well, there was a lot of stuff that would go in that trailer. And the job was get everything in the trailer. Just let's get loaded up. We were ready to get out of there after a race. But David realized very quickly that there had to be somebody standing there to tell you how to get it in the trailer.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's never all going to fit.
That's right.
Or it's going to be in such a mess that you can't get it out at the next race. So David was always standing there, and he made people mad sometimes because he'd be like, just sit it on the ground. I'll get it in there.
Yeah.
But he just like Emerald.
Yeah.
If you listen to these people who are working on something and not quite literally in it, things go much smoother. It's Proverbs, James. Listen to those things. Apply those things in your life. But we are so hard-headed that we want to look Emerald in the face and say, I got this. Or we want to look David in the face and say, I got this. You know, I've never done it before, but I've got it.
Yeah, it's true.
Seek wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good. How was 2024? Did you achieve your goals, running and non-running? What do you see as you look back? Well, I accomplished some good running goals in 2024. You know, I ran 5,000K for the first time ever, which was a goal that I had for last year. But I didn't quite get my 100 miles in before the end of 2024, but all the training was in 2024. And then I did it at the beginning of 2025. So those were two big goals that I had. And I learned some stuff.
Yeah.
When I went down and ran that 100 miler in the Keys, I learned a lot of what not to do.
Yeah.
And that was a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was not the best experience, but it was good for me.
Sure.
So now I approach things a little differently from that standpoint. So I think about our church. You know, our church, when we look back at some of the things that we wanted to do there, we realize there are some things that have to change going forward. And those things are in process of being changed because we look back. And so there's a lot of areas where I've made changes in my life because of things that happened in the past year. Mm-hmm. You?
I had a lot of changes in 2024.
Yeah.
We sold a house, we rented a house, and we built a house, all while going through a merger, a new app platform, and had one graduating high school, one graduating college, and get engaged to be married. I don't know why we chose to do all that in one year. I think Holly's got a few gray hairs as a result of it, but we hope 2025, our goal is to be a little more even keel and get back to focusing on some fitness things. Because quite honestly, I mean, I was walking and running during that, but I had nothing on the calendar. I had,
yeah,
you know, But yeah, I mean, it was a good year. It was, I'm a rip the Band-Aid off type of guy. Yeah. So I was like, let's just do it all this year and get it over with.
Yeah. And, well, and sometimes you just don't have any choice. Sometimes a bunch of things come at you at one time and you have to deal with it as they're there.
Yeah. But it's all good now.
Yeah. Makes it worthwhile afterwards. Do you take time to rest, reflect, and plan at the end of each year? Depends on what you mean by rest, reflect, and plan. You know, when you look at my running, a lot of people would look at my running and go, well, he has no plan at all. Mm-hmm. And I may not have a plan of this is what I'm going to do next February 20th. But I know in a general way, every week I've got certain elements that I'm going to do within a week's time, and I make sure I get all those elements in. Mm-hmm. And so it's a different kind of planning. It's not what we typically think of when we say plan, but I do take time to look at what I've done. This coming week, those things that I normally do, I'm not going to do next week mm-hmm. because I've got an injury and I've got to draw back from those mm-hmm. things. And so that's kind of a reflecting and planning kind of mm-hmm. thing, I think. So I don't know.
I watched a documentary here a while back about it was contrasting NASA and the historical way that NASA has always done things, and it contrasted it with Elon Musk. And I think you're an Elon Musk type of planner. I'm probably more NASA, but I'm not quite that bad. And this goes to your point of planning versus paralysis of analysis. And it gave statistics on NASA has always been known for engineering and engineering and engineering and modeling and modeling and for years. And I think it was like 7 years that they would work on a new rocket concept before they ever fired the rocket.
Yep.
And the failure rate of NASA was almost zero. I mean, almost zero. Contrast that to Elon Musk. Elon Musk is not scared one bit to blow a rocket up.
It's true.
But what he learned so much faster through failure. There's a lesson here.
Yeah.
He learned so much faster through failure. Now, you know, you never want to blow a rocket up, but the fact that Elon Musk can bring a new concept to market that is just as safe once it gets to market, but he did it through failure.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much we can learn that just like you kind of went down to the keys, not with a real good plan, yeah. at least from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
But you learned a ton when you went down there, mm-hmm. which catapulted you into this race you just did. And really, I mean, you learned real quick. Whereas if you just sat and read books for the next couple of years, you might get to the same place. You might not.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
But you did it. You expedited it much faster. So I don't really know what all the lessons are in that, but it's really good to identify those two views. One kind of falls on paralysis of analysis. One kind of falls to, even though I don't think Elon has a lack of planning, he's not afraid of failure.
Yeah.
And sometimes we got to not be afraid of failure.
Totally agree with that for sure. And that's exactly what, when I went down to running the keys, I wasn't afraid.
I'm going
to
do this.
I wasn't afraid to try.
I was like, Dean, have you thought about your nutrition? No, not really.
Yeah.
I'm just going to eat some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. you know, I'm at one of these points right now where in my Sunday morning small group, we've been doing one thing, and we've been actually going over the show The Chosen, mm-hmm. and we've been using this book to do that, and it's been good, mm-hmm. it's been a good study, but the book has gotten in the way more than it's helped, mm-hmm. and so when we get to season two, which is going to happen soon, we're going to do away with the book, mm-hmm. and we're going to do it in a different way because we learned that's not the most effective way for us to do things going forward. So
Holly and I actually just started over with episode one. We're going to watch that again.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, we're doing it as we go, so we're almost at the end of season one at this point.
So have you seen the whole series though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, it wasn't that long ago that we just watched the latest season 4 or 5. I can't even remember.
I believe it was 4, and we haven't watched season 4. So I don't like how they're waiting so long, and it's not like you forget the stories.
Yeah.
You know, it's like somebody said in our Sunday school class here a while back, they're like, don't give it away. And we're like, you know the stories.
Yeah.
It's not like we're doing a spoiler.
Yeah.
But I want to watch it, you know, kind of one show, couple shows a week. And go right into season 4 because, I don't know, it's just better when you can kind of
put
them all together.
I like that idea. Last question. Do you start each new year with a run on New Year's Day? It's a tradition for me. I want to start the year on the right foot, pun intended, and set a healthy precedent for the rest of the year. Yeah, I start each year with a run on the first of the year. And then I just copy that day for the rest of the year.
We'll just leave it right there.
Do you need something to keep you motivated to keep fit both physically and spiritually? Upward Running has what you need to keep you on track for both. Check out upwardrunning.com and join us for pennies a day. I promise you, you will not regret it. All right. Well, this comes from endocrine.org. Not brand new, but it is concerning. It says BMI alone may not be a sufficient indicator of metabolic health. And it goes through this process where they did this study and they analyzed all of these people. It says BMI is not a complete measure of metabolic health, and a high proportion of U.S. adults with normal BMI still have obesity, according to research being presented Friday at Endo 2020. This was back in 2023. The latest research highlights the importance of including what percentage of the body is fat, muscle, bone, and water, and how much fat is in the abdomen versus the thighs to fully understand drivers of cardiometabolic disease. Here's the bottom line on this study. The bottom line is that the study shows that according to BMI, we're in that 30% range that say that our country is obese. Mm-hmm. But when you look at these other factors, mm-hmm. it's 74% mm-hmm. of the population. And that is really concerning when we look at that. And again, the idea in here is not to throw stones at overweight people, but this is a real crisis in America, and one that I feel like we dance around. We just recently had a lady who weighs 500 pounds who is suing a company because she couldn't get in their car. I don't want to talk about that case, but what my point in it is that we don't look at that person being 500 pounds and think that's not good. Mm-hmm. You know, we think, well, everybody has a right. You have a right to do whatever, but it's not good and it's not healthy. And I think we need to talk more about that. I think that no matter what you think about RFK, I think his intention is to start talking about some of these health things that we just kind of ignore at this point. And why it's so important because so many of the diseases and the problems, the health problems we have in this country go back to obesity. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that are made worse by obesity. And again, I get it. If you don't care if you're obese, then you don't care if you're obese. I want more people to care.
Sure.
And whatever it takes to get there, I want to be there.
Well, and it's the reason, you know, talking about, you know, because BMI mostly is calculated by your weight versus your height.
Right.
And that's, I mean, that's a good indicator, but it's not, you know, a smart scale is better than actually doing it in the lab is the best. But it's why we tell people, especially in the 5K challenge, because we see this a lot, don't look at the scale when you start the 5K challenge, because mm-hmm. there's a very good chance you might actually gain a few pounds when you start, because there's just muscle that has atrophied through the years that you're starting to wake up and you're starting to build that muscle back. And it's why I always tell people, during the 5K challenge, don't look at the scale. Look at how your clothes fit.
That's right.
Because you may gain weight, but that weight is in different places. Mm-hmm. Maybe all of a sudden your pants are a little baggier, but the scale says you weigh 3 pounds heavier. That is actually a good thing.
That's right.
That weight gain is good. And then as that weight gains, then the fat will start to drop.
Mm-hmm. Because the more muscle you have, the more fat you burn. That's the way that the metabolic system works.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and the other thing is you mentioned RFK. I sat down and watched his confirmation hearing the other day. Do I agree with everything RFK Jr. has said in his life? No. But it's obvious that he's made health and nutrition his life's work.
Mm-hmm.
Go Google an RFK Jr. workout. I don't even know how old he is. He's an older guy. It's obvious that this is his life's work. But I don't agree with everything he says. And that's fine. I don't agree with everything you say.
Right.
But you're still one of my best friends. And we've got to get past this demonizing people because we don't agree with 100% of what they say. Food and drugs are a real problem in this country. Mm-hmm. There is no question about that. And RFK seems to be screaming that from the rooftops. There's lots of money and there's lots of influence in this industry. And he, RFK, at least he doesn't seem to be beholden to that. And I'm listening to what he says, and that is comforting to me. He is saying, I just want to get people healthy. Are there things that I have questions about? Yes. But where we've gotten, it seems like, in this country is we don't believe. I mean, there's so many people out there that we put into office, and they're saying things opposite what we believe, but yet we put them in. And then the people that come along who are saying food and drugs are a problem in this country, and we're like, we don't believe you mean that.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. And, you know, it's not our intent to get political here, but we need to make this a bigger priority, because you gave the stat 60 to 70% in this country are clinically obese.
Yep.
That is not a right versus left. That is not blue versus red. That's just a fact.
Yep.
And you look at other countries and it's not that way. And if you just watch a handful of documentaries or listen to a handful of people, there's all different views on how we need to fix it, but there's no disagreement in we need to fix it.
That's right. That's and the point.
That's all we're saying is, mm-hmm. and we've said it before, it's not really rocket science. If you'll just start thinking about what you're eating and don't listen to the marketing of foods.
Yep.
You know, I've really started trying to do better because, you know, I've never really struggled with weight, but my cholesterol is an issue. Mm-hmm. There's no question. It's because I love smoked foods. I love smoked meats. I told Holly the other night, I'm trying to, you know, I'm not cutting meats out. I'm never going to cut, but I'm cutting way back. The amount of, we say eating healthy is expensive. It's completely not true.
Yeah.
I went in, I've been going to the grocery store every Sunday and getting all my fruits and veggies. You can load a cart and be checked out for $40.
Yeah.
Now, if you go down the meat aisle, that grocery bill all of a sudden quadruples.
Yep.
And, so all we're saying is think about the things you're eating.
Yeah.
Understand being overweight is not healthy. That is not us condemning anybody. That is a fact. We love you and we want to see you succeed. But the chips are stacked against us and we have to understand that. That's not conspiracy. That's money.
Yeah.
And that's all it is.
That's right. And one final thing I'd like to say about it is that I remember a lady that I worked with years ago who was, she was rail thin. I mean, she was a skinny lady. Yet when you checked her body fat percentage was very high. She was unhealthy. She was obese. She had blood pressure problems, probably related back to the fact that she was such a high percentage of body fat. So just because somebody looks healthy does not mean that they are. And on the flip side, you mentioned that there are people who are just, they've just got a lot of bulk to them. And a lot of that bulk is muscle.
Sure.
And they may look like they're not healthy, but they are.
We saw this so much in triathlon.
Yes.
We saw it so much. But the lady that's rail thin, I guarantee you, who has a high percentage of body fat, you can use three words, and I think it would just about nail it. It's bags, boxes, and wrappers.
That's right.
If you're eating the majority of your food out of a bag, box, or a wrapper, that's not good.
Right.
Go to the outside of the grocery store. The wall of the grocery store and shop there. And I'm definitely not a nutritionist. I'm definitely not the best person to be giving nutrition advice, but it really is common sense.
Yes.
It really is.
And this is an issue that's really passionate for us.
Yeah.
For what we do and personally, because we care about people. So please, you don't have to be perfect in your diet. You do not have to be perfect.
Just
make better choices, and it can make a lot of difference in your health.
That's why I love Spider.
Yeah.
You know, Spider, his simple, do something a little bit better tomorrow than you did today.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, you'll get it right for your situation.
That's right. Well, it's a time for Dean's Thoughts, and that's a time when I share something I've written about the intersection between running and faith. You know, I remember doing an Ironman triathlon, and when I got off of my bike, and I was starting to run, I remember thinking, all I have left is a marathon.
Which is the opposite of what most people think.
That's right. Well, this story is kind of like that. It's called Just 21 More Miles to Go. The MAD Backyard Ultra in East Ridge, Tennessee was going great. I had some early complications, but everything came together around 45 miles. I felt great through the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s. When I completed the 18th 4.1667 mile loop, I was thinking about how far I could go. My mind and my body at that point was telling me I could cruise past 100 miles and keep going. 30 minutes later, I was struggling for survival. The tagline for the Backyard Ultra is, "It's easy until it isn't." I had gone from, "Boy, this feels like I can go on forever," to, "I don't know how I'm going to make it through the next loop." It was easy until it wasn't. While I was running the 18th loop, I had thought, just 21 more miles to go to 100 miles after this loop. I remember thinking how absurd that thought was, but that's exactly what my mind was thinking. And I couldn't help but contrast this thought to an utterance we have heard many times as new runners go through the 5K challenge just before week 8 workout. That is the week where students go from running 2 8-minute runs separated by a 5-minute walk to one continuous 20-minute run. It seems impossible for many 5K challenge participants. Thousands have said, there's no way I can go from 8 minutes to 20 minutes of running. But we've seen it thousands of times runners overcome that challenge. There is doubt. Then 20 minutes later, everything changes. Circumstances can change so quickly. Our minds can change from 1 minute to the next. We can go from, "Hey, this is not a big deal," to, "I don't know if I can do this," in the blink of an eye. Likewise, we can go from, "There's no way I can do that," to, "I just did that in 20 minutes. What do these two things have in common? You must get off the couch and do things. That is the only way to experience either of these feelings. But that is only half the lesson here. The truth is that it is possible to go from, "I can't run for 20 minutes," to, "I only have 21 more miles to go." How do we get from one to the other? We do things. We go out and push our boundaries a little further each week, month, or year. We never stop wondering if we can do something more. Maybe you think you can't lose that weight you've been trying to lose for years. You've tried everything and nothing sticks. Maybe you lose 10 pounds and then fall back into your old habits and gain it back, maybe with interest. Or maybe you want to eat a more healthy diet, but it all seems so overwhelming. You can't imagine not eating all those things you know are not good for you. Or maybe you want to run faster or more miles than you've ever run in the past. All of these challenges can be overcome the same way week 8 of the 5K challenge is overcome. You just do it. But don't stop there. Once you run for 20 minutes, there's another tough thing to conquer. 30 minutes. Then an hour. Before you know it, if you keep challenging yourself, you're running a marathon. When you go through a week of eating better, don't stop. Now try 2 weeks, then a month. Keep challenging yourself to do more, and eventually you may say, I only have 21 more miles to go. But just as I indicated in my circumstances that 21 miles suddenly became a mountain to climb, you have to know that progressively improving nearly anything is going to get hard at some point. That's not only okay, that's great. Embrace opportunities to overcome doubt, and it will become easier to rid yourself of doubt altogether. I am reminded of the story of Joseph and his brothers in the book of Genesis. God had used Joseph to prepare for famine. His brothers, who had sold Joseph into slavery, needed his help. As the reader of Genesis, you have a front row seat to the drama that plays out as Joseph creates an impossible situation for his brothers, only to help them in the long run. From the brothers' standpoint, it looked pretty hopeless. But God had coordinated all the circumstances far in advance to ensure that everyone was happy, safe, and content in the long run. And that's how it is in a lot of our challenges. God has provided a way for us to overcome them, but we have to be bold enough to do our part.
That's a great story, Dean.
We've seen a lot of people do this, right? That week 8.
Yeah.
Man, it's so awesome to watch week 8 and watch people overcome that. There's no way I can't do it, man. I can't. There's no way I could run 20 minutes.
Yeah. And they always say, I can't go from 8 to 20. It's not true. You're going from 16 to 20. We're just taking out a walk break.
That's right.
But we do. We hear that over and over and over.
Yep. Do you feel like me? I feel like the Joseph story just doesn't get enough airtime.
Yeah.
And we talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a lot. And then we just kind of skip over Joseph. I feel like his story is so awesome. Mm-hmm. I love the story of, because to me, you know, Abraham did a couple of little deceptive things. Mm-hmm. And then Isaac did more deceptive things. And Jacob was just, he was the deceiver. Mm-hmm. And it progressively the family got worse, which is what happens in our family line. And then Joseph reverses all of that.
He's the anomaly. Yeah.
And we don't talk about it. Yeah. What a great overcoming of something.
Sure.
I don't know. Anyway, this how we work ourselves up to the point of 21, where 21 miles feels like a walk in the park. And, you know, over the years, I've pushed myself a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further. And eventually you get, when you keep capitalizing on those opportunities to do a little bit more, you get to where that little bit more is a lot.
So let's park here for just a minute. I know you did a Thursday Night Live on your 100 miler, but some of the people listening to this may not have heard that. Tell us a little bit about, give us the 3 minute summary of that. Cause we were there about midnight.
Yeah.
And you look like you were, I honestly thought you were going to do 130 miles by the way you looked at midnight.
I felt like I was going to do 130 miles.
I mean, you were
miles.
On top of the world. So walk us through those dark hours. Because obviously, you had completed 100K when we were there. So you'd done 63 miles. And, you know, it was easy. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, until it wasn't, happened sometime after we left.
79 miles.
Walk us through that.
When I got through that 18th loop, at the end of the 18th loop, I think I had completed 79 miles at that point. And I literally, as I was running that loop, thought, man, there's only 21 more miles left to go. This is going great. It's not going to be a problem. You know, you feel a little bit stiff, but not bad at all. I mean, I was feeling really good. And I thought, man, I wonder how far I can get back. I was thinking, how many people are going to be able to do 100, and then how many people are going to be left after that I'm going to have to try to, you know, run with after that. And all of that stuff is running around in my head. And then, like I said, on that next loop, the very next loop, I was oh my gosh, I don't know if I can make it to 100 miles.
Mm-hmm.
It was the craziest change and the quickest change I think I can ever recall.
Do you think, because I have a hypothesis, and tell me if I'm wrong, I probably am, usually am. Do you think it's because you said it in here, and I know your A1A goal was 100 miles.
Right.
That was the goal.
Yep.
Do you think it was because 100 miles was the goal? Do you think if your goal in your head and your expectations and everything was 130, do you think you would have had that same experience at mile 79?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I do because
you see where I'm going with that.
I do. I do. Absolutely, I do. And I see why. I see how you could go there. But my thought, my goal was to get at least 100 miles in.
Yeah.
But I thought I had a shot to win the thing.
Right.
And that was my goal, was I wanted to try to win it. And so that's where my thoughts were. I'm going past 100 miles. And then the next thing I know, I'm like, I hope I can get to 100 miles.
Yeah.
It changed that quick. So,
because I think the point is, so many times we limit ourselves simply by speaking something.
It's true.
And
it's true.
You speak it, and therefore, you know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yep.
Oh, I can't do whatever. I can do this, but I can't do that. Well, just like Henry Ford or whoever said it, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're probably right. Not saying you were thinking you couldn't.
Yeah.
But the A1A goal was this. I don't know.
We've seen that.
I was kind of thinking that.
Well, I've seen that with a lot of people. A lot of people have this goal. This is my goal. And once they reach that goal, okay, I've reached the goal. And they're done with it. And that's what brings them to.
So physiologically, mile 79 was coming whether you thought it or not. It was there.
Yeah. It was crazy. I remember the triathlon kids when we were coaching them. Do you remember how the tempo runs were when that we would ask them to do a 3 mile tempo run and we gave them all their paces to run and they just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on for weeks where they just could not do it.
We would cut it short.
Yes.
We would cut the rest short because they were missing it so bad.
Yeah. And eventually, once they got it, then they were able to do it relatively easily after that. I mean, they'd get through and it'd be like, oh, that was kind of hard. You know, when they got through and a month before that, they were like, there's no way I can do that. They really didn't see it.
But going back to the point I was just making about you, it's funny how our triathlon team was such guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Because we were experimenting a lot on it. And for good reason. I think we had a lot of really fast athletes. But there were so many things we didn't know when we were coaching them. But do you remember the time that Lane, he kept trying to break 5 minutes on the mile?
Yeah.
I forget how old he was. He was... I don't know how old he was. Anyway, I'll never forget he was on the track and his fastest mile at the time was like, 5:10. He was still a good ways. I mean, 10 seconds is a long ways.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, but he wanted to break it on this particular run and he started on his laps and he would always listen for each lap, call out. He knew it. He perfectly calculated his splits.
Yep.
Well, on this particular day, and I know I'm the run guy, for God guy, but we kind of fudged on his split times.
Yep.
I told him that he was going slower than he actually was. And he ran a 4:48, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Just smashed it. I mean, 20 seconds faster than his previous PR, but it just illuminated. He thought he was going slower than he was. Therefore, he reached down. And there was more there.
Yeah.
That if I would have said you're hitting perfect splits, he would have ran 4:59.
Yep.
But, and so that's why I was asking you about yours. Is
sure.
He thought something very different than was reality. Yep. But the problem is usually we go the opposite way.
Yeah.
We think it's worse
than
it really is. And therefore, we just crumble and cave in. He thought it was worse than it really was. And he was bound and determined to leave it all out there. And I'm convinced that if we would have told him you're running perfect splits,
he wouldn't have run.
He would have run 4:59 or not broken it.
Yeah.
But he thought he was way off.
Yeah, so I think there's definitely something to that for sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Have you always wanted to read through the entire Bible but never found the time to do it? Well, let me do it for you. Sign up for the self-paced Bible in a Year challenge and start listening today. Every day, I read a few chapters from the Bible and give you helpful tips and encouraging quotes. You must be an Upward Running member for access to this exciting challenge. So if you're not a member, sign up today and get started. If you are a member, what are you waiting for?
I guess the biggest point from what we were just talking about is that so much of what we need to conquer is in our brain.
Yep.
It's in that 6 inches between our ears. So keep that in mind when you're struggling, that very often all you had to do, like those triathlon kids, all they had to do was change the way they looked at that tempo run, and they got it. And sometimes that's all we have to do is look at it a little differently. Mm-hmm. Well, every week I share a reason why running and or walking is so awesome. And this week, it helps us make better diet choices. Mm-hmm. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I think when you take care of your body from an exercise standpoint, it makes you look at your food differently. It makes it look at your food like fuel. Mm-hmm. And I want to put good fuel in my body. You don't just pull your car up to someplace and put some water in the tank because you need good fuel. You need gasoline. Mm-hmm. And the same thing I think happens when we run, we have a tendency to want to put better food in our body.
Yeah. I think you start to, if you pay attention and you either journal or you just pay attention, you start to realize how the food you eat affects the run that is after, mm-hmm. you know, so, you know, you're going somewhere one night and you're getting a hot fudge sundae, you start to understand how that affects that run at 7 o'clock the next morning.
So true.
And it's not saying you shouldn't eat a hot fudge sundae, even though it's probably not the healthiest choice. But the most important thing that comes from that is that you connect those dots.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you can start looking at food differently and you can start saying, okay, I understand that it's the cause and effect.
Yeah.
If you can link those two things, then your food journey is going to be a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So let me bring up something that we've already been a little controversial today, maybe. So let me bring up something else. There was a study done a year and a half ago at the University of Copenhagen. They had runners complete a different type of training. They called it 10-20-30 training. And the way that it worked was you would basically jog for 30 seconds, and then you would run at a pretty good clip for 20 seconds, and then you would go all out for 10 seconds. And you would do that and kind of rotate through that for 5 minutes. So 5 cycles of that, because that's 1 minute. So 5 cycles of that, and that would equal one, and then do 1 to 4 sets of that. It's a lot like HIIT training,
mm-hmm.
Tabata, mm-hmm. But it's a little bit different. The study was there to show that it didn't matter whether you did the sprints all out or at 80%, you still got the same benefit. And I can totally understand. That's not surprising to me at all. That makes sense. But what they said was that all the runners, the people who were runners before, started doing this training and only doing this training and not their regular running training, and they got better. They got to be faster runners as a result. And this is where the controversial part maybe comes in. If somebody is serious about their running, there's no way that they get better at running. If somebody's running 50 miles per week and then all of a sudden they do this little bit of training, there's no way they get faster by doing that. I looked at this whole study, and I thought there's something flawed about the way they pick people. And I didn't look at the full details of what was going on, but it takes a little bit of all of it. It's why our training plans involve some running fast and a good bit of running slow, because you need all of it. And I don't like these studies that kind of show that all you got to do is run hard for you got to do less work and you're going to get better results. That doesn't happen. It's never less work for more results.
The problem with these studies is it's assuming that these circumstances are done in a vacuum. And yeah. what we've seen through the years is it's just like, you know, if somebody would have done a study, we've already used Lane as an example, but if somebody would have done a study on Lane back when he was a senior in high school, they could make the case that you can run mid 15 5K only running 25 or 30 miles a week.
Yeah.
But it doesn't show the whole picture.
Right.
It doesn't show that he was biking 150 miles and swimming 10,000 K a week. And I think that's with a lot of these studies, it's just flawed.
Yeah.
You know, you can lose 50 pounds by walking 10 minutes a week. Well, the person that they used for that study was also swimming 10,000. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's a good point.
You have a lot of this, and so many times with these studies, you got to look to see what it's trying to prove and who it's trying to prove it for mm-hmm. is the big thing. So, yeah. I mean, I don't doubt that there is a case for this, but what are all the circumstances? And usually we don't get all those,
no, that's true.
All that data.
Yeah. Well, I bring this up because this goes back to what we were talking about just a few minutes ago, the yeah. mental side of things. Yeah. This is all about the mental side of things. I think what happens is, what helps these people more is the mental side of running hard mm-hmm. over and over again that makes them better. Mm-hmm. It's not the physical attributes that come from what they're doing, but the mental side of, oh, my body will run faster, and they realize that, and then they go do it. I think that, and again, I think that's, we see it in the 20 minutes in week 8. We know when we see that person, we know they can do it. We're 100% sure that that person can do it. We know 100 for certain they can do it, but that person doesn't know it.
Yeah. It's the character that we used to call in character builder workouts.
Yes.
Yeah. It's building the mental side, because that is something you have to train just as much as your legs is the mental side. And we would ask our athletes to do these impossible scenarios. The workouts where we knew they were all going to fail.
Yep.
But what they did is that workout that's 10% less harder, but still 20% faster than where they are now, all of a sudden becomes easy. And I'm using air quotes in that.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't that crazy workout that we knew none of them were going to hit. They didn't know that.
That's right.
But all of a sudden, oh, that crazy thing you asked us to do yesterday is now all of a sudden not as hard.
Yep.
Same exact workouts, different mentality.
That's right. So if you're struggling out there and you wish you could do something, you might be able to do it. It may just be a matter of changing the orientation of your brain a little bit. Well, this week's trivia question is this. How many heart rate zones are there in most heart rate training programs? This one's a pretty straightforward one, but heart rate training programs, that's it's very popular in triathlon. Some runners do it, some don't, but there's heart rate training is a definite, there's a science to it, and there are heart rate zones. How many heart rate zones are there in a heart rate training program? Now, don't come back and say it's not the same in all of them, because I realize that there are a few exceptions.
What is the standard?
The standard this, yes. And you can send that answer to dean@upward.org, and if you're the first one and you're a member, then you will win $20 off in the store. So get answering. Our motivational thought of the week comes from a guy named Deepin Palmer. I'm not sure who he is, but I like what he said. He said, the magic you are looking for is in the work you are avoiding.
I've never heard that, but I love that.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Most of the time, it's the thing that we trying to avoid doing that will
work
get us where
weakness.
We want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it looks like I noticed there are a lot of people that seem to be sharing this quote. All of a sudden, you know, these quotes, people say something and then all of a sudden it becomes really popular all sure. at the same time. Maybe because it's so good. And I saw a similar quote from a guy named Joseph Campbell. He said, the cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek.
Another great quote.
Comes down to embracing hard things, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, we are down 255 episodes we've done of this thing, and people are still listening. That's crazy.
Crazy town.
Yeah. But we're so thankful for you. like and share and rate and do all those things to help us out with all the algorithms and things, help people find us, share what we do with others so that we can share Christ with more people. That's the whole goal. And in the end, we'll give him the honor and the praise. And until next week, may God bless every step of every run and or walk. Go out there and shine your light.
Good job, Dean.
For more information about Upward Running, visit upwardrunning.com. If you have questions about your salvation, click on the Peace with God tab. There is nothing more important. Thanks for joining us today.